Did you have a good day today?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. What wonderful thing happened? That's pretty good.
No bad news.
The universe didn't collapse around you. So, continuing in this Yugala Gita chapter, just let's go over the sequence of verses, the copies. Sadly, Krishna Lila Pragayanto Niyo Dukena Vasan. Navasan days, Dukena. Very unhappily pass their days. We have our good days when nothing bad happens. For the gopis, they're unhappy. But how, what do they do? Pragayantya, they sing loudly of Krishna Lila, the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. And it's first verse again. That's a nice verse actually. Sri Sukhavata Sukadev Goswami said, Gopi Krishna Vanam Yate, Krishna has gone to the forest. Tam Anudruta Chaitasa, their minds followed him to the forest. And what did they do? Because their bodies didn't go, but their minds went. Krishna Lila Pagayanto, they chanted his pastimes. Loudly, Pagayanta, they loudly chanted his pastimes. In the middle of Ninya Dukena Vasan, they passed their days. But in that loudly chanting his pastime, in that, that was their unhappiness, that they were separate from him. So, with their intensity of desire to be with him, actually they were in him, in his Kama Rupa, in the mood of always thinking about him and thinking about him. So Krishna fully manifests to someone who chants and sings and thinks about him with bhava. And that's the only way one can, with a mood of affection, and that's the only one way one can kirtanaya sadahari, continuously chant. Because we can say, we can try to do it with our intelligence, or with a very strong mind, I'm going to, with the strength of my determination, I'm going to, from now on, always chant, and on and on and on. The conditioned soul always he will try to act by his own power, but that is not possible. This is such an exalted state, but it happens completely naturally when there is love for Krishna. So due to the gopis' love, and what is the hint of the greatness of their love, is that they were unhappily passing their days because they weren't with him. That's all it took for them to be miserable, that they weren't with Krishna. So the young girls spent sadly spent their days. And what did they do in their missing Krishna so deeply? They're ecstatically associating with him by chanting his glories. So then there are different 12 sets of verses. So the first one talks about Makunda's flute and his eyebrows dance, and the demigoddesses and their husbands become completely captivated. So these exalted beings, they can't understand the wonders of Krishna's compositions, but these exalted souls become completely captivated and enamored. It touches their heart. Krishna's flute playing touches their heart. And then, not only, in the next set of verses, that not only are the exalted demigods and demigoddesses captivated, but on this very earth, the moving creatures such as the, there are three mentioned. Anyone remember?
The deers,
and one more,
bulls.
The bulls also. They're completely captivated, and their ears cock up, and they appear like they're so stunned with the grass, unable to be chewed, because that's what cows do a lot of the day, grazing and looking for something to eat, and then after a while they sit down and chew a little more. But they couldn't chew, because the sound vibration of Krishna's flute captivated their consciousness so much and stunned them in ecstasy. They were like painted pictures. So it was from the heavenly demigoddesses to the moving creatures on earth. And then the rivers. Those things that are inanimate also, that don't have life. So each of these verses also, the first part is a description of Krishna's beauty, and the second part is how his flute playing affects these different types of living entities, because Krishna's beauty is what the gopis are focusing their consciousness on. So in this third set of verses with the demigoddesses, Krishna's playing his flute with his tender fingers, and he places the flute to his lips, and he rests his left cheek on his left shoulder as he's playing vibrato. And then he affected that flute playing on the demigoddesses and demigods. And then the second verse, which describes the bulls, cows, and deers as standing in groups captivated by the sound. The description is, Krishna has a smile like a jeweled necklace, and he has the mark of Lakshmi Devi on his chest. Steady lightning. That's also Stira Vidyut. He's the goddess of fortune, steady lightning. So it's very interesting, because lightning in this world isn't steady. It just flashes in and then it's gone. And also, Lakshmi Devi herself in this world is considered astiram or chanchal, always unsteady and flickering. But here, when Lakshmi is resting on Krishna's chest, then she's stira vidyut. She's lightning that has become steady. And then in the third set of verses, is how Krishna dressed. He's dressed like in the garb of a wrestler, the appearance of a wrestler, mala. Another very colorful, and he has leaves, peacock feathers, and colored minerals decorating his face. And he's playing his flute, and then the water becomes stunned by ecstasy. And the rivers stop flowing. The waters stunned by ecstasy. And they eagerly wait. All they can do is hope that the wind will bring them the dust from Krishna's lotus feet. And their waves tremble out of love. The gopis compare the rivers to themselves, because they are restrained, the rivers are restrained from going to see Krishna. And like the gopis are restrained, so therefore they say they are not very pious. Then the next set of verses is when Krishna's wandering about the cows. This is the beauty that's described about him. They're on the mountainsides. And Krishna calls out to his cows with the flute, and the trees and creepers in the forest respond by blossoming, giving forth the blossoms and flowers and fruits that naturally are the products of their particular bodies that they are. And while he's doing this, while he's playing his flute, Gopi Vrinda, all the cowherd boys, they're Gita Kirti, they're chanting his glories, they're singing about him. Because why are they singing about him? Because they love him so much. And the branches of the trees, they're bending low. What a scene. And the center of the scene, Vrindavan is the stage, and it's providing the most wonderful atmosphere for Krishna, the star, to perform his activities, and all the supporting actors are the, and actresses are there, but the stars of the whole drama of Krishna's Leela are Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So then, all the bees are singing loudly for him, and they're making their sound. And Krishna reciprocates with the bees by playing his flute. And then the mines, when he plays his flute, all the birds who are in the lakes, they approach Krishna. They come closer, because birds usually keep away. But these birds can't keep away from Krishna. They approach Krishna, and they close their eyes, maintaining strict silence. And they're thinking about him. They're just like munis, or great sages. And they're deep in meditation. Isn't that funny? In the sense that Krishna's right in front of them, and they have their eyes closed, deeply meditating on Krishna. But he's right in front of them. Because they're like, birds are considered like munis. Also, another example of something ironic like that was with Kadamba Muni. When, soon as Kapila Muni, his son, was born, he was the Supreme Lord. Then the great sage Kapila Muni, he took sannyas and left home, and quiet, so he could meditate upon the Lord. There's different ways of approach. And then, in 12 to 13, then Krishna's with Balaram, wearing a flower garland on top of his head. He's on the slopes of the mountains. Govardhan is one of the mountains. There's little hills all over Braja. And then he plays his flute, and he has garlands all over his body. And then the clouds, who are the rivers were on the ground, were reciprocating with Krishna in one way, and the trees were reciprocating, the bees were reciprocating, the deers and bulls and cows were reciprocating in different ways. And now, how will the clouds reciprocate? They shower down flower petals or little snowflakes, and they shield him from the sun, and they thunder. They make a thundering sound in a very gentle way to accompany Krishna's flute playing, like an orchestra. Sometimes either they'll have cymbals. You ever see people play cymbals and, you know, like with the drummer can play cymbals in a way that it just makes a rattling sound or something like that. Or someone playing a timpani drum. So there's no beat, so the but it's just making a background sound. So similarly, the thundering of the clouds made accompanied Krishna and added to, for Krishna's pleasure, very gently, made a gentle thundering sound, and flowers. They flowered showers. The way it works. And then the gopis go to see Mother Yashoda, and they glorify Krishna in a different mood, talking about how not only all the demigods, the most excellent of the demigods, the topmost demigods, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, are completely captivated by Krishna's flute music and they become confused by its compositions, even though they're the greatest of musicians. And in this verse, there's no description of Krishna. They just, oh yes, there is. He just takes his flute to his bimba lips, his reddish lips, and then he sends forth this wonderful music, this wonderful sound vibration. And the gopis had a very interesting relationship with the flute. They were always envious of the flute, because the flute always was tasting the adha amrita of Krishna, the nectar of Krishna's lips, and felt they couldn't get any of it. And then, we read yesterday, as Krishna strolls through Braja with his lotus petal-like feet, and he marks the ground with the emblems of the flag, the thunderbolt, the lotus, and the elephant goad, Ankut. So there's Krishna walking, seen as Krishna walking. And he's removing the distress of the earth. And he plays his flute, and his body moves with the grace, the movements of a slow elephant. And then Krishna commences, the gopis, they say. And then they can't move. They are shocked by Krishna's glance. And their bodies become stunned in ecstasy. And Krishna's playing his flute. And while he's playing his flute, out of the corner of his eye, he's glancing at them. And they know the flute music is meant to attract them for their pleasure. So he catches them this way and they become stunned. He plays Krishna like he's playing with all living entities. Like puppets, in one sense. But he himself becomes a puppet in the hands of the brother of the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis and especially Srimati Radharani. There's all kinds of pastimes of Krishna, wrestling pastimes with Krishna in Bandiravan, especially one of the forests. He's going to wrestle. It's arranged that he challenges Srimati Radharani to wrestle. The camera police are, they get ready Krishna for the wrestling, and the girls, the gopis, bring out Srimati Radharani. They bring her out. There's many different stories, but one of them is that they bring her out with her head completely covered. And they're all saying, and the cowboys are saying, you're going to win, Krishna, and the girls are saying, oh, Srimati Radharani is going to win. And then they're about to begin. And Srimati Radharani slowly picks up her veil. And she glances at Krishna out of the corner of her eye. And Krishna faints and loses immediately. It's over. One, two, three. And Srimati Radharani wins. So, Lord Krishna is making everyone dance. The love of the Vrindavan Vasis makes Krishna dance and makes him stunned. So now, 18 and 19. Now Krishna is standing somewhere. counting his cows on a string of gems. So they're very visual. They're seeing Krishna in their mind's eye as Krishna is acting in the Vrindavan forest. And they're hearing the sound of his flute as he's entering the forest. So they're seeing Krishna, and they're far away from Krishna, but he's manifesting in this way. He stands somewhere counting his cows on a string of gems. The string of gems is called, he has money, he's holding these jewels, money or manimala. And this is what he looks like. He wears a garland of tulsi flowers that bears the fragrance of his beloved, given to him by his beloved. And he has thrown his arms over the shoulder of an affectionate boyfriend. As Krishna plays his flute, he sings. He plays his flute and he sings, but not at the same time, obviously. The music attracts the black deer's wife. So this is also a verse from the Nino Gita. Vrindavan, no, Dhanam Sma Mudagateo Api Haranya Eta. Haranya means the deer. Who approach that ocean of transcendental qualities. So when the deer are famous for being attracted by the music, and the hunters, what they do, they would play some musical instruments, and the deer would become attracted and move closer, and then the hunter would. So the gopis were thinking that they're just like this deer, and when Krishna would see the eyes of the deer, he would be reminded of the eyes of the gopis. So the gopis thought, we're just like the deer. Krishna, we're there in the forest, and we're innocent, without no eyes. We have no deers have no defense. We can only run away. But when the flute music comes, where can they run? It follows them. And then, when they're completely captivated by the flute music, can come comes closer, Krishna shoots his arrow and his glance at them. And they're completely wounded in their hearts by that arrow. That's how the gopis think of themselves. So he has thrown his arms over the shoulders of an affectionate boyfriend, and he plays his flute and sings, and the music attracts the black deer's wives, called the Krishna deer. Approach that ocean of transcendental qualities, and they just sit down beside Krishna. Just like us coward girls that have given up all hope for happiness and family life, being shot in the heart by the arrow of Krishna's glance after being attracted by his, trapped by the clever flute music that has brought us close enough to be shot by Krishna's glance. So we don't want our hopes for happiness and family life after being pierced in the heart by Krishna's glance. It's fish. Sri Jiva Goswami explains that in the afternoon Sri Krishna dressed himself in new clothing and then went out to call the cows home. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following information about the transcendental cows of Vrindavan. For each of the four colors of cows, white, red, black, and yellow. Okay. How many groups and colors? And what were they?
White, red, black, yellow.
Okay. Four different groups of cows. This is very important information. And there are 25 subdivisions in each. And there are 100 colors. 25 times 4 is? Very good. And such qualities as being colored like sandalwood pulp, tilak, or having a head shaped like a madonna. Create 8 further groups for the cows. So there are 108 groups of cows, in, according to the different subdivisions and colors. So the sandalwood pulp, you see these around the carpenters, the speckled like sandalwood pulp. I don't know what a Madangamukhi cow looks like exactly. It must be, it has a long and shape like that. So there, and when he calls them, so the whole, when Krishna calls out the name of, white, of a white cow, does anyone know the name of the white cow? The head white cow? Dhavali. So when Krishna calls out, hey Dhavali! A whole group of white cows comes forward. And they call out, oh Hansi, Chandani, Ganga Mukta, and so on. And 24 other groups of white cows come. So all the different groups of white cows. And the reddish cows are called Aruni, Kumkum, Saraswati, etc. And the blackish ones, Shamala, Dumali, Yamuna. This is the best part of giving a class when you get to do this, call out the names of the cows. And the yellowish ones, Pika, Pingala, Anitalika. Those in the group with tilak marks on the forehead are called Chitrita, Chitra Tilak, Gir Tilak, and Tiryak Tilak. Tilak means bird. I don't know what it looks like, bird tilak. Because there's all kinds of different markings they have on their forehead. And we read the descriptions of the cowherd man and Krishna, how they deal with the cows. It's touching. Because then it's they're not cattle farmers. Their business is called raksha. What does raksha mean? Cow protection. Actually, in the original Bhagavad Gita, the Prabhupada translated when it was published, the editor changed from raksha cow protection to cattle raising, cattle farming or something like that. And naturally, I didn't like that very much because it's completely different, because cow protection is what the cowherd men do. And they have very intimate and loving relationships with the cows. And because they love the cows, they actually love the cows. They love the cows and therefore, the cows reciprocate by giving milk. They don't love the cows as a business, part of the business, so that the cows will give more milk, because you can't love because you get more out of the person. That's not love, obviously. But they actually just love the cows. There's this one sadhu in Vrindavan, an old man, very old sadhu, and he, every night before he goes to sleep, his big goshala, he goes and says good night to each one of the cows. Oh. And by the name, he says good night, this one. And he goes to the next one, good night. Late night. Why? Because he loves the cows.
Villages will feel like the cows have, they don't stay outside, they are taken inside the doors.
Yeah.
And they have got that room where they know every evening they come into the door.
Yeah.
We still have in our villages.
Yeah.
They come into the door and on the side they have got their own room. And so they go into that.
Yeah. Bengal is also like that. In Bengal the houses have walls around them, the same thing. They don't stay inside so much, but they come in the compound, and the cows just come back by themselves at night. They have to not to graze, just feed pasture. And at night they come home. They're like members of the family. And they give milk. And then when the calves are brought there, they're out of infection. they're treated with so much love and respect, and they're fed nicely and cared for so nicely. And then calves are brought, and then they get milk. And they drop the milk because of their affection for the calves, and the calves can only drink a certain amount of. If the way that the cow has been made by Krishna, if the calf drank all the milk, he would die, because there's so much more milk than a calf can drink. And even Madhya Yasoda used to call Krishna all vatsa, calf, out of affection. He called Satya all vatsa, all calf. Doesn't quite work in Ivrit. Where's vatsa? Oh, vatsa! Oh, vatsa!
That's something with sun also.
Yeah.
But the calves here don't get any milk.
Oh, we don't want to talk about them. What their fate isn't very. So the point I was actually trying to make was that so when you drink that kind of cow milk that's produced out of the affection of the cow for the calf, that cow milk is nourishing on all different levels, and it's the perfect food. It nourishes because it's affection, it's liquefied affection of a cow. And that food is so nourishing. Not they take the calves away and then they stick a machine on the cow and then they pumps it out and everything like that, and they fill the cow with antibiotics and hormones to make them produce more, and then we'd want to go on with the story. This cattle raising, the industry. It's an industry. This is what you said, it's something different. It's the cow is a part of the family. They still have this in the village in where you're from. It's like that still. Something different. And then the cow, the dung is used for fuel, and the cow urine is used for it's medicinal for the liver, etc. So, those in the group of tilak marks on the forehead are called chitrika, chitratilak, girga tilak, and Tiryak Tilak. And there are also groups known as Madangamukhi, Singhamukhi. What is Singhamukhi? So the cows have a different shape than the Madangas. Some of them have shapes like lions. Thus being called by name, the cows are coming forward. And Krishna, thinking that when it is time to bring them back from the forest, none of them should be forgotten, is counting them on his mani mala. This is on his jewel. That's what we chant on our japa mala, 108 beads. Krishna chants on his japa mala, his mani mala, jewel beads, 108 groups of cows. So in this way, he can tell if all of them are accounted for. So all of his 900,000 cows. He calls them all by name. So just imagine what it would be like when Krishna calls your name. But then you're a cow. And I always think it would be some cows who wouldn't come back immediately because they would want Krishna to call their name again. Because Krishna calls them with such love. And when he was young, he used to kiss the calves. And Mother Yasoda would be in so much anxiety because she'd be afraid he'd get sick or some disease. But he would kiss the calves and massage them when he was taking the calves out, he would massage them, he would rub them, he would milk them, he would put a golden pot between his legs and sit down and milk the calves, cows. And therefore, because the relationship was so strong and it was so affectionate, when Krishna would call them, they would come. And when Krishna would say, go left, they would go left. And when he would say, go right, and Vrindavan, he'd still hear this. I only really heard it one time, one or two times. Avi Muni, the cowherd boys, when they're herding the cows, they make these sounds that the cows can understand. But it doesn't, it's not like, it's you know, it's like a special language that they speak to the cows. They, you know, they stop saying when they're really young. Can you do it? When you were young, huh? You can do it now? You're too shy, or the things are hee hee hee. They're different kinds of sounds. And when the cows recognize these sounds and they turn left or they turn right because of the relationship they have with them. And Krishna used to carry a stick. He would not hit the cows with a stick. Sometimes you have to show the stick. Because the cows otherwise. And even you also see this, that these little children, you can't, they're like this big, much even smaller than Dhruva. They herd big buffaloes and cows. And the cows are completely obedient to them. They're only this big and the cows are huge. Would you like to be a cowherd boy? Why? So much fun. Maybe just about that size. They go out and they have a stick and they're not at all mental about it. That's the thing. They call in the cows and they're holding their stick and the cows are completely obedient and the kids aren't at all thinking, oh, is the cow going to listen to me? They're so strong-minded. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh. You've seen this kind of thing? Little children. This big. So small. And the cows are so big.
Hundreds of cows, not like one or two.
Yeah. And a few little children.
We used to chase after the cows with mean the cow does not come home.
Yeah.
Because the opposite house had cow. And four or five cows, they don't come, then the lady used to, old lady used to send us, go and find the cow. So we used to run around, and when we found the cow, we all had a stick in our hand and run after.
Yeah.
The cow used to run really fast.
Yeah.
And she knew where the house was and she went to the door.
And she knew the time was up. She had the chance to come home. And it's so much fun for boys to do that. So people always used to talk about village life. You know, of course, this hardness in the living, and once you're used to city life with all the electricity, and just, you know, you push the button and your clothes get washed, and you just flick the lights, switch, and the lights go on, and etc., etc. You pull out a machine to vacuum the floor, and flick the heat when it's cold, flick the heat when it's hot. And, you know, you can't go from there to living in a village. You know, just very rarely someone can do that. But because we're so addicted to machines and things like that. There's a Prabhupada tells the story of this one man, a fisherman. He was living, he didn't have anywhere to stay, so he had a basket of fish. Not fish, but the fish basket with him that he used to catch the fish. So he asked someone if he could spend the night in the house. So he said yes, but you can't bring the fish basket in because it smells so bad. So the man was trying, so the man came inside and he left the basket outside. And then everyone helped him to sleep. And the next morning they woke up and he wasn't there. The fisherman wasn't there. And he was outside next to his basket. And they said, how come you didn't sleep inside last night? He said, I couldn't sleep without that smell. So Prabhupada said, that's like Americans, you can't sleep without a machine. The machine, he used to tease, oh, you know, a machine to brush your teeth, a machine to... etc. So many machines for everything.
You make your bread, you make your rice, you make everything.
Yeah, there's a machine that makes rice, bread, toast. Huh?
Pasta.
Pasta. That I haven't seen, a pasta machine. Where did you get one? I need one. How can I make pasta? Anyway, village life glorified it so much. Simple living, high thinking, a phrase that seems to have come from Gandhi also. Gandhi was very like that. He talked about a Gita Nagari, a villages where the Gita is sung. So Prabhupada actually said that. You could just live a simpler life. So, because what you get, what the cost is in our life, you know, we think it's so easy. All you do is flip the switch and everything starts happening. But you have to pay for it. Otherwise, you forget how much. And you have to get a job so you can pay for the machine, and pay for the electric bills, and pay for the this, and pay for the that. And you have to, you know, go, you know, half hour, an hour to work every day, and then half hour, an hour back to work from work. And you just sit on the desk all day long, and your back aches, and your eyes ache because you're sitting in front of a computer. And so that's also, and then you have to get the petrol, and the car, and the insurance, and the registration, and the this tax and that tax and the fees for this and fares for that and how much is the air tax again? The breathing tax? They don't have that one yet. They haven't figured that one out yet, have they? But it looks like, I mean, when we were in you know, Melbourne especially was famous for its water. That you just turn on the tap and the water is so good. But now you have to pay for your water. No one could conceive of that. You know, 30 years ago, that you'd be buying water by the liter to drink. No one could conceive of that. So it's just a matter of time before it happens with the air, too, right? Everyone's going to have to walk around with bottles of air. And then so you can get a breath, and you know. And would you like some Himalayan fresh air? Like strawberry air today? If you want to have shops that have just air shops, like you fill up your car, you fill up your lungs, you like strawberry air, and you'll think, wow, this is great, strawberry air. And then you think you're in somewhere far different than you are, which is terrible when you can't breathe the air even because the pollution is so bad.
I had so much water in Melbourne in the 70s, it's illegal to have a rainwater tank.
Really?
To have a rainwater tank.
Oh.
Do I have in Melbourne? You can never have a rainwater tank because it was really good. As long as you bought the scheme, I had so much water, like, what did you buy it?
And now it's quite different, I would presume.
Now I'm on ration.
Yeah. And no one would think that perhaps we're doing something wrong. And maybe if there's not enough rain like there used to be. And that was not even that long ago. It wasn't like hundreds and hundreds of years. So much water now. And 3 years ago even, all the governments, the Howard government and the what was that fellow's name? Who was the president of the United States? Can't even remember. But there was, there's no such thing as global warming. We have our, and we have our tests to prove it, and we have our scientists that we pay. And they said there's no such thing as global warming. And they're so shameless, and they could just change it around. you know, in India, we have to really be careful and remember this, and so that the global warning, the same people who are shameless, they're shameless, shameless liars. So,
your government water levels.
Oh, really?
And they do it every 2 years, and he said that they were sent a chart and an email, and he works for government taking readings of water levels.
So low this year.
It's going low. They've got a chart saying that by the year 2100 there won't be any water left.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be desert here completely. So.
You want to stay around? What would you like? What kind of a group would you like next? So that city could, don't be a frog. I'll get water for you. What kind of? That's what Prabhupada used to say. Just get out. Lose your life and get out. So in any case, thus being called by name, the cows are coming forward, and Krishna, thinking that when it's time to bring them back from as far as needs to be forgotten, is counting them on his dual beats, his Mani Mala. What a nice scene, yes? Cows are very regulated by nature. Let's see what Prabhupada says about it. I described it here in the Krishna book. My dear friends, when Krishna returned home with his cows, the footprints of the soles of his feet with flag, thunderbolt, trident, and lotus flower relieve the pain the earth feels when the cows traverse it. He walks in a stride which is so attractive, and he carries his flute. Just by looking at him, he becomes desirous to enjoy his company. At that time our movement ceased. That was yesterday's verse. We become like trees and stand perfectly still, unaware that our hair and clothing are loosened. This had many thousands of cows, and they were divided into groups according to their color. They were also differently named according to color. And when Krishna was prepared to return from the pasturing ground, he would gather all the cows. His Vaishnavas count 108 beads, which represent the 108 individual gopis. So Krishna would also count on 108 beads to count the different groups of cows. When Krishna returns, he is garlanded with tulsi leaves. A gopi described him to a friend. He puts his hand on the shoulder of a coward boyfriend and begins to blow his transcendental flute. The wives of the black deer become enchanted upon hearing the vibration of his flute, which resembles the vibration of the... Anyone know? Veena. The deer come to Krishna and become so charmed that they stand still, forgetting their homes, forgetting their husbands. Like us, who are enchanted by the ocean of the transcendental qualities of Krishna, the sea deer become enchanted by the vibration of his flute. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes.
Interestingly, if you go to some of the day when Krishna calls the cows to return, it wouldn't be something that they would have listened to.
Sometimes they would wander out, find excuses to be around. They have to have some wood or this or that. And Krishna, would go to the forest And that his excuse would be his cabin boy being taking care of the cows, but also he would go there and when he would see the deer, he would think of the geese. And they would hear the flute and think of him, and they would go out. So these are the transcendental living pastimes of Buddha. They have nothing to do with the material world. Pure love. But it's always said because they cut the earth with their hard hoofs. It's described like that. So we don't think of that as hurting the earth, just like when we pull a branch of a tree down, we don't think it's causing the tree any pain. But the earth is conscious and the tree is conscious. So we don't know what it's like for the tree. And we don't know what it's like to the earth. Like when they drill for oil, how do you like it when they just put a drill into you? So it's not very pleasant for the earth, it appears, because the earth is a personality. Bhumi Devi was an expansion of Satyabhauma, was Krishna's Bhushakti.
Boys
who also have their separate coats. Yeah.
Because this is only non-monogamous coats, 900,000, whatever. But they will also be having, other people
yeah.
in the town must be having.
Everyone had theirs. Yeah. So what would happen, there is a special reference when it comes to the calves. And it's the same with the cows. But when Krishna was, when they would take out the calves, all of the calves of all the boys, each boy, there were thousands of boys, and each boy had thousands of calves. So they would come out like streams of water.
From their area, homes or something.
Well, they would, first of all, they would come out of the individual homes and form a big herd. And they would mingle together during the day, and then when they would bring them back, they would all, like streams going the other way. Everyone knew where their own homes were. You used to see that there would be different cows from different homes together, and then it was time to go home, they'd go on their own.
Not in each person goes to herd the cow. There's a cowherd person whom they pay, basically. And each house would have two cows, three cows. So they all meet in the center of the village.
Yeah.
And so in the morning, if you see early, like 7, 8 o'clock, there are like hundreds of cows in the center.
Yeah.
And then cowherd boys, once all the cows come in, they take them in different direction every day for grass.
For grazing.
Yeah. And
in the meantime, they
come back in the center of the village, that spot, and then everybody goes to there.
Okay. So they go to their home? Or they?
No. Cows automatically. Once they come to the center,
yeah.
the cows know how to get there. Get home.
And that also in Govardhan, in Ashwamedh Ghats.
Yeah.
11 cows, and we were at a place one afternoon, and around 5 o'clock there was a knock on the door.
Yeah.
And she opened the door, and 11 cows just came in. By themselves. And it's every day like that.
Who knocked? The cows?
The cows.
I guess the doorbell wasn't working.
In the evening, when the cow comes back home, and if the door is closed, they move,
yeah.
so that the owner knows the cow is back.
Yeah.
And she opens the door from inside, and the cow comes in.
Dhruv, you know how to make, you know what kind of cow makes? That's more calf, maybe. When they're hungry, they let you know.
Usually there is plenty in the house as well as outside, so whenever hungry, I think. And they will look after the reason in their own special.
The buffaloes in the village? In Bengal and in South India, there's more cows. In North India, moist.
It's drier, isn't it? It's a problem in North India.
Different gunas of people.
Yes, that's what it is. That's what it is. The people have different modes. They think they don't know the difference between if you drink cow milk, one thing happens. If you drink buffalo milk.
In our area, cow milk is cheaper. People don't want it. They only want buffalo milk.
Because
it's a buffalo more clean, it's heavier, thicker, as against the cow milk. They don't want cow milk.
Yeah.
You don't know the value.
Yeah. But Krishna also had buffalo and I think for yogurt. Upananda, I think. Funny how just talking about this kind of thing fills someone with happiness.
I saw the cow this morning on the dairy farm from the milk. It's very maybe that's why I just moved Dagenham. Instead of seeing the cars.
Where do you go?
It's a farm in Byford.
How far? I don't know where that is.
40 minutes from Kalamunda. Down the south. So it's, you say southeast part of the city. Just an edge of Perth. Byford,
little town. How much milk did you get?
70 mils.
70. Each time you get 70?
Oh, it depends on how much it might be 200 or something. The ritual was up, I was getting some of the restaurants as well. The calves were out there this morning, and their little pens and clean the hay, and one of them came out to greet me when I arrived.
Hello, Caro.
I went up and patted it, and they got a bit shy and banged on it.
Have they increased the price for us?
No. It's more than you get from the dairy, because you pay like $1.30 in the shop and they only get 28 cents. That's why you can't do it economically with that sort of thing at the price they get.
Soul killing civilization.
Yeah. They get 50 cents. They get 50 cents from us, but they only get 28 cents from the dairy.
Mm-hmm. They should be happy.
Oh yeah, no, they're happy. Also tax free because cash. Top of books.
Something a ripper. 28 cents. Eh?
Yeah, so you pay $1.20 in yourself. And no, it's not going to the poor farmer.
The dairy industry. And the mother of this temple, the cows that they have near there, they're the most ugliest things you've ever seen. They look more like pigs, and they're angry and frightened. And because
are they cattle kind of?
Yeah, they're horrible. They look like they were farmers.
They had that. I think you don't need to go over there. They had the wrong type of cow.
Yeah.
They sort of bred as a cattle.
Yeah.
Thing, so. And they resemble dairy cows from
they change
variety. Yeah. The cows in the they are from South Africa, pigs and so forth. And they resemble more like pigs. They have no horns, and they have no hump, you see.
And they don't have that.
Yeah, even the
flesh to that.
Yeah.
So, not the ones that are so small, they are very beautiful.
And the quality of their milk is not good also. Good also.
Okay, Hare Krishna. What's going on with the restaurant, by the way? Is it moving forward at all?
Yeah, yes, it's just a couple of months.
It's the